couple weeks ago, I spoke about just what the Holy Spirit brings into our lives. I'm going to do that same thing. So this isn't necessarily about speaking in tongues. This isn't necessarily, see, I don't have to worry about that for Day of Pentecost. These are my Day of Pentecost messages. I'm 2 weeks, 3 weeks behind. But in the midst of these, we're going to cover all of these things as we speak our theme for the year, as we get back to that, which is full of the Spirit. So we still have to get back to the gifts. We're halfway through those, the ministry gifts, and there's a lot that we need to do before the end of the year, but we will. And so rest assured of that. And so these things will all come out. But I just wanted to, these two messages that I've spoken have really just been really to the heart of life. And that's where the Holy Spirit really comes in, to the heart of life. And that's what I want to talk about today. So praise God. So Jesus baptizes us in his Holy Spirit to enable us to live fulfilled spiritual lives. That's what this series has been about. It's only going to be two messages, so don't worry, this is the last. And this is what I would call, in saying that, this is what I would call living in the Spirit, or living a life that is God-controlled. Amen? That's what we want. Amen? Living a life that's God-controlled. Living led by the Spirit. One of the things that every human being wants, and this is a message that I spoke way back, one of the things that every human being wants is to be qualified. And maybe that's not the right word, but for the sake of the message, it's the right word. So let me tell you what I mean by being qualified. We want to know that what we're doing makes a difference. We do like the pat on the back. We do like the boss to say, hey, great job. Nothing wrong with that. We do like the spouse to say, you know what? Thank you for helping me today, or thank you for doing this. We do love our friends to tell us or to be there and those types of things. And so the human nature, especially the selfish human nature, the fallen human nature, wants to be qualified, wants to know that what we're doing makes a difference. We want to know that we're needed in someone's life. You know, that's where loneliness comes in, when we're not needed, when we don't feel like we're needed, when we're alone, loneliness comes in. And so we want to be qualified in that area too. And if we go into our scripture for this year, which I'm not going to touch, but if we go into it, because we've spoken about it so much this year already, and so greatly, we see that the Holy Spirit is the one who qualifies who we are and what we do. And the scripture for the year, if you don't know it, is Acts chapter 6, verse 3. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you. You're probably getting tired of hearing this year. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation who are full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So we see that it was the Holy Spirit that made these men of good reputation. We see that it was the Holy Spirit that made these men wise. We see that it was the Holy Spirit that made these men the ones that the church needed to put in leadership to take care of that ministry that was falling and failing. Amen? So no matter what you think today, online or in the house, I want to tell you that you can't have a good reputation without the Holy Spirit. Now, let me say this. When I speak about a good reputation, I'm speaking about a godly reputation. Are there people in our world that have good reputations and yet they're nasty people? Yeah, there are. Are there people? Yes, so we understand that. But you can't have a godly good reputation without the Holy Spirit. You can't have true wisdom without the Holy Spirit. You know, Stephen Hawking was probably the smartest man in the world, they say, when he passed away, because the smartest man in the world denied that there was a God. But guess what? When the smartest man in the world passed away, guess what he found out? There was a God, and he had denied him. Guess what Stephen Hawking got, as smart as he was? He got true wisdom. Oh, wow, you do exist. And God said, yes, so do you. And guess where you're going? Now, that's if he didn't receive Jesus or in his dying breath call out to Jesus. Now, you can't have true wisdom until you're first full of the Spirit. Now, here's the neat thing about this gift of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit coming into us when we're saved. We know that happens, every believer. I'm talking about Jesus now saying, I will baptize you in the Holy Spirit, just like I baptize you. And folks, I keep missing this announcement. We're going to have a water baptism very soon. Little Rachel wants to be baptized. I need to give her a date. So I will announce it next week again. This week, if you want to be baptized, on the back table there are baptism things you can fill out. Let me know so that we can get a firm date for Dan to know for his daughter, and then we're going to do a water baptism here at the church. But here's the neat thing about this gift of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. God is not selective. It's not just for Jose. It's not just for Bev. It's not just for Chastity. It's for every believer of Jesus Christ. Everyone. If you're in a Baptist church, if you're in a Catholic church, if you're in a, and you are a follower, a believer of Jesus Christ, I want you to know, though your pastors or priests may tell you something different, this gift is for you today. And I would tell you to search it out and to search on your own and find the scriptures and ask yourself, what is God really saying here? Because it's needful in the day we're living in. And I also showed you through these messages this year how God wants to use this gift in the church. I said things like this. The church was unified when the Holy Spirit was moving. The church was gathered together. Do you remember that message? We said the church continued to grow. You know, I think that the church that is honestly going to grow in the day that we're living, because people are leaving churches left and right, I think the church that is honestly going to grow, yes, we understand the seeker-sensitive churches. They tickle the ears. They won't speak about hard things in life because they want to gather the multitude. Well, that's fine, but somewhere along the line, somebody's going to get hurt in that multitude, and they're going to leave anyway. Doesn't matter what you try to do to coddle people. You hear what I'm saying? But I really believe that the church that will grow in the last days is the church that is full of the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because people are going to come into our place needing what God has, what God has promised. And only the churches that believe that that's still possible and are moving in those things are going to be the churches that are going to see growth, because people are going to say, that's for real. That's where I was healed. That's where I was raised from the dead. That's where I got new life. That's where I got new focus. That's where I got new vision. And so those are the churches that are going to continue to grow in the day we're living in. I really believe that. And then God was magnified in the church through the Holy Spirit. And then when people are full of the Spirit, the blessings of God continue and increase. Those are old messages you can find online. You wouldn't have to look very far back to see those toppings. So let's get into those topics, not toppings. I'm thinking of a Sunday today, I guess, but I'm talking about topics. Toppings. I love toppings on my ice cream. Praise God. Turn with me today over to Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 26, and this is where we want to pick it up today. Galatians chapter 5, starting with verse 16. Praise the Lord for your word, Jesus. Amen. Thank you for it. Verse 16 of Galatians 5. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ, verse 24, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another or envying one another. And so we use this term, walking in the Spirit, to talk about the Spirit-filled life. And we use it so easily. But I'm thinking perhaps that many have no clue to what it really means. Hey, I'm walking in the Spirit. Oh, we're walking in the Spirit. Oh, we're walking together in the Spirit. Praise God. And so today, I just want to look at a couple things at everyday living and how in all that we do in this life, how the Holy Spirit is evident in this life. Amen? I want to teach you what walking in the Spirit truly means. I want to teach you how the Spirit wants to teach you to walk and the things that He wants to do in your life. And so let's look at these things. Three things I want to look at today. The first thing that we need to see is this. The Holy Spirit is not an event, but a process. I think for many in Pentecostal churches, come up, we're going to pray over you, you're going to receive the Holy Spirit, you're going to speak in tongues. Well, first of all, we don't make that the litmus test here at this church. If we pray for you to receive the Holy Spirit, we're not going to pray that you walk out of here speaking in tongues. We're going to pray for you to receive the gift that Jesus said that He will baptize you in the power of the Holy Spirit. And guess what? All of these things are going to follow. So somewhere down the line, whether you want to or not, guess what's going to happen? You're going to speak in tongues. My son Kenny started to walk before Christian at the different ages. But we knew that Chris was going to walk because we knew that he was a healthy young boy. So it didn't matter at what ages they began to walk. They began to crawl. They began to run. We knew that it would happen. Why? Because they were a human being. They were healthy. We understand sick human beings, maybe that doesn't happen. But they were both healthy. So we knew at some point they're going to walk. At some point they're going to talk. At some point they're going to be able to run. At some point they're going to be able to figure math out. At some point they're going to be able to do these things. Why? Because they were healthy young men. They were growing. And as a human being, these are the things that we do. I want to tell you, as a Spirit-filled, baptized in the Holy Spirit, Christian, believer in God, you can't get away from it. You're going to get a prayer language, and it's going to be a powerful language. It's going to teach you to pray the things of God over people's lives that you don't even know you're praying about. But that's not what we seek. We seek the giver. We seek Jesus. We seek Him pouring into our lives, equipping us for what He has called us to do. I hope this makes sense today. And so the Holy Spirit is not an event, but it is a process. It's not something we do at the altar. It's something that He does every day in our lives when we wake up, when we go to sleep, when we go to work, when we go to play, whatever we do. And if you go to, and if you read Paul's writings, you'll see him use sentences like they were being filled with the Holy Spirit, or they kept on being filled with the Holy Spirit. See, this is key here, what Paul was writing, because what we need to see in this is something that God wants to do on a daily basis. This isn't Pastor Jerry in OSL. He talks about you're at a Wendy's or at a Taco Bell or you're somewhere and you empty your cup at the table. What do you do? It's unlimited refills. You know that, right? But what do you need to do? You need to go and get your cup refilled. It's free. It's given to you. It's a promise when you paid your money. You have unlimited refills. But you need to get up from your table. You need to walk to the machine or walk to the counter and say, can I have another Mountain Dew? Can I have another Pepsi? Can I have another whatever, iced tea or whatever you need? And get your free refill. This is what we are called to do as believers. Live in a way, where we come and seek the things of God on a daily basis and say, God, renew me. Refresh me with your Holy Spirit. Continue to pour into my life. Do this on a daily basis, especially in the troublesome times of lives. Amen? We see that in the New Testament church, that persecution and trouble only made the church press on with even more joy. The more they got persecuted, the more joy they had. In fact, it speaks of the Christians that were thrown to the wild animals in the Colosseum. It says that they were sewn up in sheep's clothing. In other words, they would strip sheep and they would put these sheep's skins on the Christian. And they would throw them into the arena with the lions and the tigers and they would devour them. And it says that as these Christians were hung on Nero's wall to be torches, they were lit on fire, doused in tar and lit on fire. As these Christians were going to their death, you know what they were saying? They were singing praises to the Lord. They were glorifying Jesus Christ. You don't find that in the church today. Oh, I got a stomach ache today. I can't go to church. Oh, I've got this. I can't do that. Oh, wow. Listen, what about glorifying God in that? What about lifting Jesus up and praising Him and giving Him the glory in the negatives of life and just saying, Jesus, it's all about you today. It's not about me. And I'm just going to lift you up and I'm going to exalt you and I'm going to praise you because even in the nasty stuff that I'm going through, you have a will for my life and you have something that you're doing. Praise God. We just need to change our mindset sometimes, church. Just read the book of Romans, and God bless you. Read the book of Romans and see the contrast that Paul spells out between this new life in the Spirit and the old one under the law. Hebrews is the same way. Some would say Paul didn't write it. I believe Paul wrote it. It don't matter. We're not going to. Who cares? It doesn't change us going to heaven. It doesn't change Jesus being our Savior. Whatever you believe is fine. But when you read these two books, Romans and Hebrews, you'll see a great difference between this is what the old life was, the life of the law, and this is the new life in the Spirit. I'm going to tell you what, if you'll read those and study those, you'll find amazing things out of what God has promised us. This process is part of the Christian walk of faith. It's not something that we make happen. It's not something that we conjure up. It's not something that we can mandate. It's something that the Holy Spirit does in us. Now, as I said, we need to come back and say, Jesus, I'm a little empty today. Jesus, I'm a little more thirstier for your presence today. I haven't spent the time with you. I haven't done what I need to do. So fill me up today. Refresh me. Renew me. And He'll do that. But it's something that He does. He makes it happen. My walk in the fullness of the Spirit is a walk of faith. Some of the things the Spirit is doing, I may never even see. I may never even know. And you know, folks, here's the thing. We're going to get to heaven. And man, it's just going to be amazing because we're going to understand things that we could never understand. We're going to see things that we never knew God was even doing in some of the very areas where we blame God for not being there. And God's going to show us however He does it. Maybe He has the greatest, active screen in the world. I don't know. Or maybe He's just going to speak a word and we're going to understand it totally. Whatever the case is, He's going to show us things that we're going to say, wow, God, it was really that easy. I was stressed out about that. I almost took my life over that. I almost gave up on living. I almost did this. It was this easy. And God's going to say, because you didn't see the big picture. You can go back a few weeks to a message that I spoke about that. Some of the things the Spirit is doing, we don't even know. But it doesn't mean He's not doing it. Amen? There's a great little poem. You can probably find it online. I had it at the time. It might not even be a poem. It might just be a letter. But it, I think it says, I think the title is, or you can find it. It'd be easy to look, those of you know how to use Google search. I think it was, Where Were You? Or something like that. And it's, somebody wrote it about the Twin Towers falling and those that said, where was God in this? And how God says, I was with the fireman in the stairwell and I was with this person in the office. It's just amazing. Things we don't see, things we don't understand. But it doesn't mean that God's not active. It doesn't mean that God's not keeping his promise. Because I want to tell you this, God will always keep his promise. Amen? In Galatians, the Jews are trying to make the scriptures that we read, the Jews are trying to make the Galatians, the Christians, walk the walk of works, not the walk of the Spirit. Circumcision is really big right here. And so Paul asked them a very important question. Paul asked those that are trying to make these new Christians jump through the hoops of the law. He says, how did you receive the Holy Spirit? Did you receive it by following the works of the law, circumcision, or by hearing the word of faith? The answer is easy. They received it by hearing the word of faith, believing what that word of faith says and acting on it and accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior. See, this is something Paul had taught, had taken root in their hearts, and they needed to understand that this is what brought their change. So this is, don't go back to the old way. Listen, folks, don't go back to the old way. There's a lot of things that God has done in you in just the last few months. There's a lot of things that God has done in you in the last 5 years. There's a lot of things that God, don't go back. There's a lot of things God has done with you maybe the last 3 days. Don't go back. We're so tempted to go back to the way it was because it's comfortable. We're so tempted to go back to this, to go back to that. No, don't go back. God's got you where you need to be. Folks, this is the importance of coming to church and meditating through the week on what God has said. This is the importance of OSL, us asking you to fill out those check marks. And I read this today. I wrote about this today. I'm studying this today. I'm working on this today. And it's constantly, OSL students, you're in the Word. You're in the Word. You're in the Word. You're in the Word because that's what makes the difference. The Word of God. That's what makes the difference. It's the importance of what we do in OSL. It's the importance of what we do in our small men's and women's groups. See, because as you begin to get the Word of God settled in you and settled in your heart, you know what's happening? The Holy Spirit is beginning to fill those empty places of your life with the Word of God. Fill you with the things of God. And you know what's happening? You're getting stronger spiritually. You know what's happening? You're getting a little bolder spiritually. You're starting to speak to the enemy a little more. Satan, take your junk and get out of here. Satan, you have no right here. Whew, I wouldn't even do that before, but I do it now. You know what? You're getting grounded in your faith. That's what Paul says. Those are words that Paul uses, grounded in your faith. Praise God. Secondly, the Holy Spirit makes us sons and daughters of the Most High God. Walking in the Spirit daily means walking as a son or daughter of the King all day. Why do I bring this out? This is so important that we see ourselves, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. It's important that we see ourselves as sons and daughters of the King, because so very few Christians really do. If we would understand what it means to be a son and a daughter of the God who created the universe, of the God who holds everything in his hand, we would understand the privilege that we have to come before him in situations where we won't come before him. We will understand the value that we have in our lives to him that maybe nobody else has ever seen. We will understand things and be a part of things in ways that we normally would not have been able to do so, because we're a son or a daughter of the living King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Creator of the universe. Listen, that should say something to you today. Jesus, God wanted you so much to be his son and daughter that he sent his only son to die on the cross, to face that, so that we could all become sons and daughters. Listen, do you know what a prince or a princess does? And they do this with a snob nose up in the air. We don't do that. But they do this, you know, a prince or princess, you know what they understand? I can do anything I want. My dad's the king. My mom's the queen. Who's going to stop me, right? And nasty things have been done because of families in monarchies, okay? Now, we don't walk around with that high nose, but I want you to know something. You need to remind the enemy, you know Satan? No, I'm a son, I'm a daughter of the Most High God, and you have no right, and you will not have, man, I can come against you in the authority of my brother, my big brother, Jesus Christ, and you know what? He kicked your butt one time, and he'll do it again, amen? Praise God. Come on, This needs to rise up in our hearts. Maybe you don't want to use the word but that's fine. But we can live that way, church, because the same Holy Spirit is also known in the Scripture as the Spirit of adoption. Let's go back a few chapters. Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is a master of all, but is under the guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. So children meaning in the ways of the world, in sin, in brokenness, on following the law. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons and daughters. You can throw that in there. And because you are sons and daughters, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. That word Abba is Daddy God. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, listen, underline this, if a son or a daughter, then an heir of God through Christ. Adoption. A child's adopted. They don't know what they've been adopted from. Maybe some do. Maybe some have a recollection, whatever the case is. And it could be for a ton of reasons that they're up for adoption. But they get adopted. You know what happens? Their name changes. They're no longer the name that they had, the surname that they had. They are now the surname of the couple that is adopting them. It means they have every privilege to inherit what this couple has adopted them into. Does that make sense? Their parents may have had nothing. Who knows the story of why they were brought into adoption? But whatever the case is, they can now say, I am a Johnson, I am a Smith, I am a this, I am a that. And they know now that they have the privileges of that family. But they don't recognize that until they get a little older. And then all of a sudden, as they grow and as their mind begins to think of future events and think about where they're going, they begin to realize, whoa, this is huge. This is great. Look what God has done in my life. And we've had adopted children in our church, and we've seen this in many parts of their lives. So you can live as a child of the King today, listen, because of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of adoption, says, Abba, Daddy. Daddy God, Abba Father, Daddy God is your father. He has adopted you into the family. You have the privilege today in this place to have intimate relationship with your Heavenly Father. Amen? Because of the Spirit of adoption that is here today, because of the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, you are no longer what you used to be. You are no longer what people called you. You are no longer devalued. You are no longer hated. You are no longer ugly, but you are now transferred into the kingdom of heaven, a son and a daughter of the living God by the power and adoption of the Holy Spirit, who says you have everything. I love you. You are beautiful. You can only do good things. I see no negative in you. You have been bought by the blood of the Lamb, and it's all yours. Praise the Lord. We should get excited about this. Amen? And then you have that same privilege tomorrow in work, and you have that same privilege next year in school, and you have that same privilege, not just in church. You have it in your car when you drive out of here. You have it in the mall where you go shopping. You'll have it at the diner when you go out to eat today. This thought alone, church, should bring some relief to the stress that we go through on a consistent basis. No longer do you have to strive to be something. You're a child of the King. I don't have to strive to be something. I don't care what they say. I'm not trying to measure up to what they want me to measure up to. All I need to do is measure up to Jesus. All I need to do is measure up to the love that my Heavenly Father has for me. And that's enough. Men, we go through this. I know women do. But men, we go. There's a pride in men. There's a competitiveness in men. And I'm not saying it's not in women, but I know it's in men because I be a man, right? And so, men, we need to lay those things down. You don't have to have that car. You don't have to have that house. You don't have to have that job to be something. But let's put away our pride, and let's put away our struggles in life, and let's just say, Jesus, I'm walking with you, and whatever you want me to have and whatever you've called me to be, I'm a child of the King. Amen? No longer do you have to strive to be something. You stand righteous before Him this day. You stand righteous before Him every day. You stand holy before Him. You stand forgiven before Him. You stand, listen, our men would know this, you stand as a powerful warrior, ladies, even you, before Him. Amen? Yes, you. Because some of you just said, as I said those things, oh, that's not me. Yes, you. Child, son, daughter of the living God, you. This is what takes place as we walk in the Spirit. Here we see the process alluded to. It wasn't enough for them to be baptized in the Spirit. They needed to be walking in the Spirit. See, in other words, you know, pastor could pray for you, or you could pray yourself, Jesus, give me that gift, that baptism in the Holy Spirit that you had promised every believer. Now, we can pray that prayer, but it's up to you to walk in it. It's up to you to get up the next day and realize that it's been given to you, that you are a son or daughter of God. I watched my father for many Sunday evening services in this church. I watched him desire the power of the Holy, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But he was always looking for the speaking in tongues. And I would watch him lay here for hours at these steps and then get up with tears in his eyes and go back to his seat because he didn't speak in tongues. And I said to him, Dad, it's not about that. All you had to do was ask once. It's yours. Do you know what happened to my dad after that? He began to speak in tongues. See, it wasn't about this. He had asked. It was his. He just needed to walk up and walk in it every day. And once he got that pressure, I hope I'm not saying anything rude here. I don't mean to be. We've had couples in our church who, you know, for the pressures of life or whatever it was, they couldn't have children. And then you know what happens? We've had a few. And then you know what happens? They adopt. And they bring a beautiful son or daughter into their home. What happens? The pressure's relieved now. You know what happens? A year or so down the road, guess what? We're pregnant. How does that happen? It's the pressures of life. It's God just... Now, nothing was wrong with adoption, so don't get me wrong. You did the right thing, those of you who have done that. What I'm saying is, it's just pressure. It's those things. It's the way God works. I don't understand it. But I think God just needs you to say sometimes, I get this, God. It's in your hands. We have to say that. We have to say that. We have to come to that place. I hope I didn't share anything personal or anything that people would say, oh, pastor, you shouldn't be saying those things. It's more than one family. So know that. There was a few here that that happened to. And it's been years and years. But we need to live this thing out every day. Men, women, young people. If you want to have victory over that area of your life that you're not having victory in, if you want to be an overcomer in your walk with Christ, listen to what you need to do. You need to be walking in the Holy Spirit. He says, if you're walking in the Spirit, listen, you won't be walking in the flesh. Somebody needs to write that down. You need to say it like this. If I'm walking in the Spirit, I won't be walking in the flesh. When he uses the word flesh here, he is referring to those evil tendencies within us that lead to selfish indulgence and strife. I will say this next week. I'm not going to go deep into it, but I think it just fits here. So I'm going to say it real quickly, and I'm not going to get into a whole monologue about it. But I can't believe the amount of Christians that are upset online right now, people who say they're believers, that are upset online because now their choice as a woman has been taken from them. You never had a choice. You don't get to kill people. You hear what I'm saying? You just don't get that right. And I get, well, what if rape or what? I get all that. 5% of rapes turn into pregnancies. 95% of them don't. Okay, that's not Christian numbers. I checked the world yesterday. That's world numbers. Is that still high? Yes, it is. Should rape not be happening in our world? Yes, that is right. It should not. Again, it's the evilness of mankind. But ladies, I got to be honest with you. It's not your right. If God so chooses to give you a child, it is not yours to abort. It is not yours to kill. Let's use the proper language. And I'm just tired of people online saying, well, they shouldn't have done this. I'm a Christian. No. If you're a Christian, you understand the sanctity of life. If you're a Christian, you understand that the one thing that God honors more than anything is life. He even says if you kill a lamb or you do not boil it in its mother's milk and do not boil it in the blood. Why? Because it's a symbol of life. We don't have that right. It was never your right. Man gave you that right, which should have never happened. Okay, because of our selfishness. And that's next week's message. We'll get into it next week. But I just can't believe this. We're talking about fleshly tendencies, selfish indulgence. That's selfishness. Listen, you want to know how not to get pregnant? They figured this out. Don't have sex before marriage. Right? And guess what? You're not going to get pregnant. You're not going to have a child you don't want. Guess who came up with that idea? Father God. But who listens to Father God? We want to do our own things. So moving on. To walk in the Spirit means to have victory over the desires and impulses of this flesh. Crucifying those things. What I wanted to say is those women who are posting online that are believers, I wanted to say this to them. You're walking in the flesh. You're thinking fleshly. You're not thinking spiritually. I just want you to know that. So look at the list here that people live in these every day. Galatians 5, 19 to 21. Here's the works of the flesh. They're evident. And guess what? You're even going to see killing in here, so you'll understand it better. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions. I don't have the time to get into all of these. Jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Murder, it's there. We don't have the right to murder somebody. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. One of the points that I will bring out next week is the fact that we just don't care about what God's word says anymore. And we as a people want to do what we want to do and not listen to the word of God. But again, that's another message. But I wanted to say this. If it's possible to walk in these lewd things every day. Listen, if it's possible to have those things as a lifestyle, then I want you to know it's very possible for us to live and walk in God's ways every day. Because some of you are saying, I just can't do it. Yes, you can. You don't think nothing about getting up and giving into the flesh, stealing, robbing, killing, destroying, whatever. You don't think nothing about that. Wouldn't it be great if through the Holy Spirit, and this is what he does, you could get up every day and just live naturally the things of God, that they would become natural. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. These things cannot be. Oh, and let me say this, and I'll say this next week too. If you've had an abortion, there is no guilt and condemnation in that, especially if it's before Jesus Christ, because he forgives, and your child very much is with Jesus today, and you will meet that boy or girl someday. I believe that with all of my heart. Praise God. Jesus forgives. These things cannot be part of our life, as our life is now supplied by the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, to walk in the Spirit also means to cultivate spiritual fruit. Amen. That's my third point, and I'll close. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability to grow the fruit of the Spirit. These are tropical fruits. Anybody like tropical fruits? Man, I love tropical fruits. I love going to the islands. I love getting the fruit off the trees or the, you know, wherever and when we go. But tropical fruits, why are they tropical fruits? Because they're different than regular fruit. I'm not a regular fruit person. Give me a tropical fruit any day. Give me a nice banana, man, a nice ripe banana. I'm living, right? Give me a pineapple, right? Give me something like that. I love it. So these do not grow naturally in the soil of human flesh. These are spiritual fruit. They really are all messages in themselves. But let me break it down a little bit today. I'll give you an introduction. So let's go over them. I'm not going to go, they're all one message in themselves. So I don't have time to get depth. But let me give you something if you want to write it down. Love. Love is everything in the Spirit is summed up in love. Everything. Jesus says, love is it. Love is it. And it's not the love that they're telling us in the world today. Okay? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about rainbow love. I'm talking about love. I'm talking about love of God. I'm talking about love. Love is everything in the Spirit is summed up in Jesus Christ. This is the kind of love that God showed at Calvary when he sent his son to die for us as sinners. Joy. Joy is something the world knows nothing about. They think they do. I'm joyous. No, they're not. They're happy. They're happy. Happiness ends very quickly. Joy never ends. The world hungers for pleasure. They're looking for satisfaction. And for a time, they might find a little bit of happiness. But they will never find joy in those things. Come on, those of you that drank one day, you know, the next day you got up after the hangover, and guess what? You were just as miserable as the happy drunk you were the night, you know what I'm talking about. Those that shot the dope, those that sniffed the dope, those that, you understand, hey, well, that was a great feeling, yeah, but what happened the next day? Didn't feel so good, Pastor. It destroyed me, destroyed my life. We have testimony like that in this building, right? You get it. There's no joy in those things. There might be happiness for a while. Joy comes as the Spirit makes Jesus and his work of salvation more and more real to our hearts. And many times it's expressed in an act of rejoicing in the Lord. Praise God, hallelujah, that's joy. Lift my hands, lift my voice, shout to the Lord with a shout of gladness. Sing unto joy, right? Sing unto the Lord with joy, hallelujah. Because there's joy in our hearts. We know who Jesus is. We know what he's done for us. We know what he's capable of doing, praise God, hallelujah. Peace. Another thing that this world will never find, real peace. It speaks of a quiet spirit. It comes from the knowledge that we are in a right relationship with God. If you're in a right relationship with God, you can have peace in every situation of your life. There's a spirit of peace. Be mindful of that. It includes the assurance that God will supply our need according to his riches and glory. Long-suffering. Oh, boy. Long-suffering is simply having patience with people. People who deliberately try to get on our nerves. It is against the temptation to take revenge when we are hurt by somebody. Gentleness. These are all fruit of the Spirit, given by the Holy Spirit. So if you don't have these things in your life, you need to ask the Holy Spirit to begin to mature fruit within you. Gentleness. Seeing people as God sees them. Solomon, I believe, gives us such a beautiful picture of gentleness and how it works over in Proverbs 15, 1 and 2. Look what it says here. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of the fool pours forth foolishness. You see what Solomon says there about gentleness? A soft answer turns away wrath. I was speaking with somebody. We were talking about, it might have been Tony. I've been speaking with so many of you about OSL. There was a saying that something about a harsh word. I can't remember what it was. But anyway, it went along with this so well. Goodness. This is an easy answer. Remember one of the three characteristics that they were looking for in the men over in Acts chapter 6, verse 3, in that sermon. Remember? For good reputation. That's goodness. They would have good reputation. Pray to the Lord that he would show you seven men of good reputation, full of the Spirit. It speaks of a character that is good. It speaks of a character that is upright. It speaks of a character that is dependable. And it speaks of a character that is generous. It's really being Christ-like. Faith. Faith is simply faithfulness towards the things of God and toward others. Now, there's much more depth to that, but I'm just giving you something easy to think about and write down today. You can search the rest. Meekness, true humility. It is not the absence of power. Don't let people tell you that it is. Meekness is true humility. It's not a belittling of oneself, but it's not thinking of oneself in such a way that would make you too big for what God needs you to do. Amen? That's meekness. It involves being courteous. It involves being considerate. It involves being gentle with everyone. A meek person is someone who's willing to try when a job needs to be done. I'll give it a try. Praise God. Temperance. Two words, self-control. The type of self-control that an athlete must have when training to win. Think about what athletes go through and the control that they have to limit what they're eating, to limit, to set the time of their practices and those types of things. That's self-control. Self-control is cooperation with the Spirit of God. You can't have self-control without the Spirit of God. And I pray to the Lord all the time, Jesus, help me in this. I'm not where I need to be. I'm not where you want me to be yet, but help me in this, Holy Spirit. It's putting the flesh below the Spirit. It's accepting God's plan for our lives over our own plans. 2 Peter 1, 8 to 10 says, "For these things are yours and abound. You will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble." Amen. These are the things that we can walk in every day. This, church, brothers and sisters, online, is walking with the Spirit. Things we can do while we work. Things we can do when we're in school, when we're in training. Things we can do when we sit at home with our families. They are all part of the fullness of the Spirit-filled life. When we're walking in these things daily, then we are walking in other things daily. Let me give you a list of some. When you're walking in the Spirit, let me give you a list of some of the other things you're walking in. You're walking in Christ's victory. Everything that he did on the cross, everything that he did through his resurrection, you're walking in. You're walking in Christ's inheritance. We are now sons and daughters of the living God. We walk in inheritance. We will inherit heaven. We will inherit the glory of the Father. We will inherit the power and the love of our Heavenly Father. We inherit it all. We walk in the redemption of the body. This body. This body needs to be redeemed. It is marred by sin. It is marred by brokenness. This body will lay down in the ground. Don't get me wrong. But there is redemption of the body. There is God healing. There's God pouring in. There's God recreating. There's God doing things in people's bodies. The redemption of the body. There's an enlightened conscience. You don't need to be New Age to have an enlightened conscience. They stole the words. Amen? They belong to God first. You can have an enlightened conscience because your spirit man will speak to the fleshly things, and you'll learn things and see things that you never saw before. You'll have a spiritual worship. You'll walk in spiritual worship. Jesus is at the well, right? The woman says, I know that someday we're going to worship Jesus. No, you're going to worship now because look who's before you. And someday there will be those who worship in the future, there will be those who worship in spirit and in truth. There's a spiritual worship. I pray that when you come here and sing those songs on the screen, that not always are they just worship from your mind. But I pray that there's a spiritual worship that begins to well up inside of you and be lifted up to God. Don't look at the words sometimes. Close your eyes and just begin to sing your own words. Sometimes one of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard are the songs that I sing to Jesus in this place when nobody else is here. And I'll just come out with a song. Sometimes I'm tone deaf, but I'll just come out with a song. Listen, it's beautiful to his ears. And I'm glad none of you get to hear. The spiritual gifts will be activated. We're going to go back to them after summer reading. We'll go back to the spiritual gifts and talk about those. And here's one. We become kingdom people because the kingdom is now through the Holy Spirit lived out among us. I do not believe in kingdom now. Kingdom now is a philosophy that gained credence in the church probably back in the 70s and 80s that said that we are building, as the people of God, we're building the kingdom of God on earth. That is not true. The kingdom of God will come to this earth when Jesus comes and sets up on the new heaven and the new earth. Then the kingdom of God will be on the earth. But I do want you to know this. They're not totally wrong. You and I being on this earth means the kingdom of God is here. And so when we gather together, we should build the kingdom of God amongst our own hearts and amongst our own fellowship. Because we are brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. We are sons and daughters of the living God. Does that make sense? So we're not going to endeavor to build the kingdom here. That's coming when Jesus comes. But when we're together, the kingdom of God is very much here. That's why there's love amongst different colors of skin. That's why there's love amongst different socioeconomic. That's why there's love amongst people who just, you know, in the men's group, in the women's group. I mean, there's love. Why? Because we are one. And the kingdom of God is upon us. As the Holy Spirit meets us where we meet. Amen? I hope this has touched your heart today, and I hope it gives you something to think about today, and I hope you walk this week differently than you walked before, because we no longer walk according to the flesh, but we walk to the Spirit. Amen? Let's just stand with me today. Let's pray.